Everything is in God's control. Amen. We're here to celebrate a new year, a new beginning, a new journey, where we can trust that our God has the best in mind for us. Amen. He has his favor that for us for this whole year. He wants to pour out blessing after blessing after blessing. Hallelujah. And so we are not to be stuck in the woes of last year or even think about them anymore, but just thank God he brought us through. And God's got a great plan for us. I really truly believe that, you know, 2021, we're moving forward again. Amen. Right? Just like when you're counting 19, 20, 21. That's right. We're going forward. Well, last year was 2020. So we were kind of stuck at the mountain. Amen. You know, for 1 year, just kind of stuck there. It's a time for us to get our vision back. It was a time for us to think about what's really important. It's a time for us to think about what God is really planning. And then now we can move forward. God wants us to go forward and to march in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate all of you. Appreciate Gideon leading in the worship. Very fine. Well done. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. We're just going to speak this morning in just a minute here, but I want to have a word of prayer for Brother David Belmare. His lower back is giving him some trouble, some pain. He's even having a problem even being able to sit. So I want us to pray for Brother David. Anyone else know someone that needs prayer or has a prayer request of your own? If you just raise your hand. God knows your heart. He knows what you have prayer for. And so let's just approach the throne right now and talk to him. Father God, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you that it is Jesus Christ that's seated at the throne, who is our mercy seat, where his blood, Lord, is there speaking for us, speaking better things than that of Abel, not things of revenge, but speaking grace, speaking mercy, speaking forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Father God, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for the Holy Spirit in us that's crying back. And Lord, there's a conversation that's a never-ending, ongoing conversation between us that demonstrates the relationship that we have with you. We are your bride. We are not just your church, Lord, but we're your bride. We have the ring of unmerited grace upon us. And we thank you for it. Lord God, we present to you those who are hurting, those who are struggling among us, those who are sick, or who are challenged with a disease or what have you. Father God, we pray that you would touch their lives right now, that you would heal them. Those that hear this message, may the Spirit of God move through the speaking of the word, and may they be healed. May the mountain of sickness be removed from their life. For you said, I am the Lord who heals all thy diseases. Hallelujah. And I will put none of the diseases of Egypt upon you. Father God, I pray that you do that now. And we ask for Brother David Belmare, our precious brother, Lord. We just know he's struggling right now with back pain. And I pray, Father God, that from the top of his head to the very toes in his feet, may you bring healing into his body, inside out, in every way, so that he can now enjoy life. I pray that even while we're here this morning, the healing process is already happening in his life. Every hand that went up, Lord, I pray that you'll send the answer. For you, Lord, are the answer. Whether it be sickness, financial, family, whatever it is that we have a need of, you are the God who supplies all our needs according to your riches in glory. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. While you have your Bibles, let's just turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And while you're looking there, I'll give you the title of the subject this morning, since we have entered. This is the first service of 2021. Amen. So your future looks bright. Amen. Your future looks bright. Hallelujah. And while you're turning there, I'm going to ask you a few questions. I want you to be able to answer those and think about them. But what do you think about 2021? What are your thoughts about 2021? Is it something like, well, just more of 2020 again? You know, same old thing. How does your future look? How does your future look to you? And the third question is, what does God think about your future? Amen. So let's read that at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Do you thank God for his word? You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Now, I like this, that the fact that God here, in speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, does not say, I know the thoughts I think about you. He says, I know the thoughts I think toward you. You see, God's thoughts are real. They're eternal. They are things. They have substance. When God thinks a thought, he thinks it in a direction. God's thoughts are active. God doesn't think things through and problem solve. You know, that's something amazing. To have the gift of problem solving, or even to learn how to do that, is a powerful tool. Most people don't learn that in school anymore. Everything is focused on memorization. They don't work on cognitive thinking. They don't work on analysis. They don't teach you in school anymore. Unless you go to college, maybe you learn it there. But you really don't learn about how to problem solve, right? But see, God gave us the capacity, the ability to problem solve. I think that's amazing. But here's what's interesting. God is not a problem solver that way. He is the problem solver. He is the one who solves the problem, right? See, the reason is because God doesn't have to God doesn't have to sit and think about something to figure out how to fix it. God thinks thoughts and they go out and accomplish things. Can you say amen? And so God says something else here. He says, I know the thoughts. In other words, he doesn't think, a thought doesn't pop in his head and then he forgets about it. He is focused on it. He knows the thoughts. He knows these powerful thoughts are like entities. He sends them out and he sends them toward us and they become word, and the word becomes manifestation, and the manifestation becomes life. It becomes part of your life. I love that about God, don't you? I know the thoughts I think toward you. Hallelujah. Very directional and very powerful. And God's thoughts have energy. They have power. They accomplish things. And he says, thoughts of peace. God wants us to have physical health and peace in our bodies. God wants us to have peace in our relationships. God wants us to have financial peace, amen. In other words, he wants us to have rest. He doesn't want us to be struggling and striving and trying to figure stuff out. He just wants us to have rest and to have trust, amen. Thoughts of peace. In other words, for God to think for you to have peace, he's sending you peace. Peace is coming your way. Right now, I'm opening the understanding, hopefully the Holy Spirit is, and the door is opening for you to realize God is sending you peace and trust and rest and kindness and blessing. Hallelujah. That's his plans for 2021 for you. And not of evil. God is not sending thoughts of evil. And he says, thoughts to give you a future. Hallelujah. And this is a beautiful word because it means that God has a destiny for you. He has something powerful for you, beautiful for you. He has already planned out an eternity. He's designed you for this destiny. Amen. And he's designed the destiny for you. That's your future. He has thought of it. He has programmed it. He has designed it. He has shaped all the ages leading up to this age, leading up to your destiny. Every other person's destiny in the past has been you. Your grandparents' destiny was to produce your parents, and then they are to produce you, and you're here, amen, because it's God's destiny. Everyone else in the past, God has set up to program your destiny, to make sure, to guarantee it. And I love this last one here, because God says he's not thinking about a possible future for you. His thoughts are to give you, to give it to you. How many can say praise God for that? He's giving you this future. He's handing it to you. He's delivering it to you. Hallelujah. And not only that, but and this almost seems like anticlimactic to say to give you a future. That seems big, but also to give you a hope. But you see, in the Hebrew language there, the word hope there, or the way that's structured, God does not want to give you the good feeling of, oh, the tomorrow, the future looks bright, I feel happy, I'm feeling. It's not a feeling. He's not giving you the feeling of hope. The word hope there is structured in a way, it means just like a promise. If God gives you a promise, you could look at that two ways. He could be verbally telling you, I'm going to give you something in the future down the road. But giving you the promise another way is you already have the promise. You already have the verbal promise, and now God gives you the fulfillment of the promise. And see, that's exactly the same way this is written. God wants to give you the fulfillment of your expectation. The hope is not giving you a good feeling. He's giving you what you've been hoping for. How many is ready for 2021 to be a year that God starts giving you the things you've been expecting, desiring, hoping for? Your children's salvation, amen. Healing in your body, financial blessing that you need, amen. How many is expecting that? And we ultimately, whether he gives us that or doesn't, we have an expectation for it. And God also, we have an expectation that soon Jesus will descend from the heavens to the air, and we will meet him in the air and have glorified bodies like it unto his. We have tremendous expectations, and God says, I'm going to give you your expectation. Hallelujah. And that's what that means there. So it's really beautiful. If your thoughts are aligned with God's thoughts, then your future looks bright. Let's get our minds and our mindset and our thoughts to align with God's thoughts. Amen? Does that make sense? God delights in your happiness. God is so delighted to bless you. He wants to pour out all kinds of good things in our lives. Amen. He has a future full of blessings, full of triumph, full of victory, full of joy. He has all kinds of things he has for you. How many will embrace that with me? Praise the Lord. But here's the issue. See, God is limited by our capacity to receive. God is limited in all that he wants to give us. He's limited by our own ability or capacity to receive it. Does that make sense? Right? We need to have a be it unto me according to thy word attitude. Right? Not, well, I that's interesting, but you know, don't, I can't expect too much. You cannot expect enough. God does not want you to just subsist on this earth. He wants you to exist with the understanding that he's a God of abundance. He can pour into your life so much so it's shaken together, pressed down, overflowing. You don't have room to even contain it. And so I want us to have that attitude. Our thoughts really should be, every promise in the book is mine. Everyone, it's mine. If you don't want it, that's fine, but it's mine. I'm taking it. It's for me. Can you understand? Let's make 2020 the year of every promise in the book is mine. Praise the Lord. The prophet Elisha told King Joash to take the arrows in his hands and to strike the ground with it. So King Joash, who was facing a battle against Syria, took the arrows and got inspired enough to strike the ground three times. And unfortunately, the prophet, the man of God, was upset because, and you can imagine the king, what's wrong? I did what you said. He said, I told you to strike the ground. You only struck it three times. He said, you should have struck it five or six, because then you would have completely defeated the Syrians. But now you're only going to have three victories. You see, God can only give to us what we are able or capable of receiving. Praise the Lord. Is that understood? The prophet said, you limit God to your little thoughts. Our small thinking is limiting God's ability to give us everything he desires to give us. I understand that, you know, like that wonderful song that I heard many years ago, we think like this a lot of times, and that song was, every time I look around, there's another blessing coming to run me down. Right, and so we do have that area where we don't know what God can do for us, or we don't know what God will do for us, but we are excited to know that God's going to do something, and I think that's good. We should have that attitude, but we should also know what God's plans are for us. If God knows the thoughts he has, and he shares them in his word, then we should know the thoughts God has for us, amen? Now, for another story, And maybe you can put it up at 2 Kings 4, and there's about 7 verses there, so it's quite lengthy. And I'm just going to paraphrase it. There was a woman who, her husband had died, and when her husband had died, this is again Elisha, she told Elisha, "My husband has died, he was your servant, and now the creditors are coming, and they're going to take away my sons and make them slaves, because I have nothing to pay them back with." And Elisha said, "You got to have something. What do you have in your house?" And she said, "All I've got is one little jar of oil." Now, you see, when God, if God looks at your life and he sees that all you have is one little jar of oil, or all you have is a little boy's bag of lunch, he doesn't see a little bag of lunch. He doesn't see a little jar of oil. He doesn't see an acorn in your hand. He sees an entire forest. God sees feeding 5,000, 9,000. God sees oil. He says, "Oh, you've got something. As long as you have something, you've got everything. As long as you have a seed gene of God in you, you've got everything you need. As long as you are a born-again child that's inside of you, that is a ruling, reigning king or queen, a son or a daughter of God. You've got all that you need. All that's already in you. What about the millennium? I want to make, it's in you. What about my new body? It's already in you. What about my healing? It's already there. It's in you. Everything you need is already in you." And so he told her, "Go and borrow every kind of container you can get from all your neighbors, from the whole community." Sent her sons out. They came back with buckets. Now, those boys were running around getting buckets and pans, and the neighbor's like, "We're just going to borrow it, just borrowing it." You can imagine the neighbors going, "What are these kids doing with a wheelbarrow full of buckets and cans?" Those boys were saving their lives. They were saving themselves from slavery. Hallelujah. Sometimes it looks strange with what we do, but our expectation for what God's about to do in our lives, we don't care what people think. We need capacity. We need to have more. We need to enlarge our capacity, because God is about to do something crazy in our lives. And so they brought the buckets home, and they shut the door like the prophet told her, and she took the first bucket, and she took the oil from the little jar. She started pouring, and the oil just kept pouring, kept pouring, kept pouring. And she filled up the bucket, and she put it to the side like the prophet said, "Give me another bucket." And she filled it up, and she fills bucket after bucket, container after container, pans, and her whole house is filled with these things. And then she's like, still has the jar, still has oil. "Give me another one." And her son says, "Oh, we're all out. You filled them all." And so the oil ceased. But then she goes to the prophet, "What do I do with that?" And he advises her, "It's very simple. Sell it. Sell it, pay your creditor off, and live on the rest." Isn't God amazing? He can provide for all our needs. The only thing we need to do is, even if we have to beg, borrow, or steal, is we need to expand our capacity. Because God's got a lot for you. You can't have enough capacity for what God has for you. The problem is not really with the supply at all. It's always with the capacity to receive. You see, God has everything you need stored up and ready. But a lot of times we live the Christian life as poor little old me, and, you know, I don't deserve much, and I'm not that great of a person. And we sing the song, "Fill my cup, Lord. My poor broken little cup, Lord." It's a great song and I love it, but why are we not using a bucket? Why aren't we using a 55-gallon barrel? Don't you think we should trade in those other little things and get something a little bit bigger? In fact, what my hope is that you will all be willing to get rid of your buckets, your barrels, your cups, and let's get a swimming pool and let God fill that up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think that's what God's waiting for. He's just waiting for us to get that. It's just like the La Fontaine song, "I Fill the Pool." No, I think it's "I Feel the Pole." But anyway, we want God to fill the pool. But if you only have a cup, that's what he'll give you. He will fill your cup. He will do it. But sometimes that's our capacity. So let's not be guilty of limiting God. Let's let God be the unlimited God, the unfathomable God, the infinite God that he is. Let him be that in your life. Stop holding back and giving him slight capabilities. Give him the full capacity for your life. He can only give you as much as you are capable of receiving. Amen. In fact, there's a quote that says, "The skies and heavens are full of the blessings that God is trying to give you." Imagine that. The skies and the heavens are so full, they're full of blessings that God is trying to give you. Praise the Lord. How many is willing to trade in your cup, get something a little bit bigger, and go beyond just barely surviving to not even just being, well, I have just enough. You know, I've just made it just fine. And get rid of that bucket, get rid of the barrel even, and get a huge capacity to where God can bless you so you can become an Abraham blesser. So you can become a blesser. Praise the Lord. It's hard to be a blesser when you're not really enjoying blessing. But God wants to bless you, and that's all there is to it. How does 2020 look to God? It's filled with hope. It's filled with potential. It's filled with unlimited possibilities. But look at what's going on in the election. Look what's happening with this disease, a plague. There's a pandemic. Stop looking at that and start looking at what God thinks. Start looking at what God is expecting. God is expecting to do something for you. Let us focus our attention on things above and not on things on this earth. Amen. Jesus said all things are possible with God. Praise the Lord. How many is excited about the fact that all things are possible with God? Right? But you know what he did? He made it like a seesaw or a balance, right? So all things are possible with God. We can all say amen. But then he comes around and he says, all things are possible with you who believe. So however much all possibilities are with God, that's going to be determined in your life by how much faith you have for all possibilities. All things are possible to them who believe. How many will be that believer that all things are possible for? How will 2020 be for you? That's my question. And some will say, well, I don't know. It depends on God. It depends on God, but it also depends on you. It also depends on you. Our limiting faith, if we have limited faith, is the only thing that's really standing in our way. That's what's standing in the way. You're just limited. You have had a lot of setbacks in 2020 and a lot of hurts and a lot of pains. We've been going all through it. And so sometimes we allow those things from the past to kind of frame the way we think about our future. And I'm going to deal with that in just a minute. But our prophet stated emphatically, we are living below our privileges. Over and over again. How many can say amen to that? And how many can go from an amen to that to I'm going to do something about it? We are living below our privileges. It's not God that's put you below your privileges. It's God who has established your privileges, that you have certain blessings. In fact, it is written that God has given the new birth to us, not because of blood, not because of the will of man, but because of the will of God. And he has privileged us to become sons and daughters of God. It is a privilege, amen? So I'm going to ask you this in a sort of an interesting and funny way. Do you have, for 2021, do you have a Tigger mentality towards it, or do you have an Eeyore mentality towards it? Everybody understand what I'm saying? Are you somebody who's ready to just bounce into 2021? Or are you somebody who's really trying to be realistic and say, it's probably just filled with more COVID-19, right? Like Eeyore would say, I really wanted Trump for a second term, but it looks like we're going to be stuck with Biden, right? Is that how you're thinking? Or somebody might be saying, I guess we will have to just endure another lockdown again, and I don't even know if I'm going to have a job. I want to just say shame on you. I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying shame on us. If God's thoughts toward us are huge expectations, full of expansive thoughts, he's expecting us as his children to have creativity, to have this ability, this capacity to receive all that God has for us and to just enjoy it. You know, imagine if my kids came to church and they were wearing raggedy old clothes, their hair was never done, and, you know, and their shoes had holes in them. And you guys wouldn't be thinking they're bad kids. Well, nowadays, actually, that's the style. So maybe you would be thinking that. But no, you would be thinking, what is wrong with the parents? What's wrong with their father? Right? And that's the same way. God doesn't want Christians and us believers as the bride of Christ, Mrs. Jesus Christ, to be going around feeling down, being depressed, being all beat up, don't know how to dress, don't care, unkempt, and just a negative attitude. We're God's children. You and I are children of the King, and we have His royal blood running through our veins. Hallelujah. We've got His royal DNA within us. Hallelujah. How we ought to be walking with our heads up, even if you don't know what I'm going through. We don't know what that poor slave was going through in the 1800s that was the son of the chief in Africa, but he had his chin up, his chest out, and he led the rest of the slaves, and the purchaser wanted to buy him, and the owner says, he's not for sale. And he couldn't understand, why was he acting this way? Because he knows he's the son of a king. I don't care what you're going through in this world, it's rough, sometimes it's very horrible what we have to go through, but every single one of you, if you're a born again son or daughter of God, you're a child of the King. We ought to walk around here on this earth understanding my Father is the King of the universe. He runs everything. Hallelujah. You can forget about Captain America. My God. My God. He is King of the whole universe. He's the Emperor of the whole thing. And that's who I am. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. And we should walk on this earth in that way. And the times and the seasons are in God's hands. He has designed the ages by His word according to the Bible. Amen. And so we should look forward to 2021 with this attitude. I'm excited and I am so looking forward to what God has planned for me. God likes to surprise us. We can't know every thought He has for us, just know He has thoughts for us or toward us that are powerful, positive, and wonderful. But it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Amen. God has surprises waiting for you. See, that alone can be kind of exciting. That alone can be fun. One of the things that I like to do with Myrna is I will think of a date and I'll plan it, and I won't tell her really what it is. I might give her an idea of where we're going or what's going to happen, but she has no idea, and she loves that. And I think a lot of times in our relationships, we get a little dull because we don't have the element of surprise in there. And so it's so important. And, you know, for us men, we have to really think hard, but it's important to take the time to sit down and figure out a plan of a surprise and do that. Because this is the way our God is. He's a God that has surprises for us. Serendipitous blessings that are waiting around the corner. You don't even know when it's going to happen. And there it is. It comes and surprises you. And so that's the way our God is. And that's something that you and I should have alone, even that alone, even if you have no idea of the blessings that God has written in His word, you at least know, I don't know what's happening tomorrow, the next day, but I'm expecting something pretty exciting. If your expectation is there, God is able to meet it and double it. Because He can do for you above what you could ever ask or think. But at least ask and think it. You know, that's supposed to encourage you to ask and think. God can do above what you can ask and think. Well, Lord, if I can just pay this bill, that would be so nice. And He'll help you and you'll do it. Can you all think back of 2020 and maybe even 20 years, throughout the last 20 years, of all the things you got stressed over? Worried about, almost life-threatening, but you're sitting here right now, and you have no thought about it. You have to think back, oh yeah, I remember that, I was really free, but then something came in, something fixed it. Oh yeah, I was really worried about that, and then something happened, and it was all right. Do you realize what a wasted exercise that is? A waste of energy? When something bad happens, start praising God. You say, you don't understand how bad it was. Well, if you can compare yourself to Job, and you're sitting on an ash heap with your health gone, your children gone, your wife is telling you to curse God, your friends are treating you like you're a hidden secret sinner, I mean, if that's what you're going through, you've lost everything, then you ought to be able to do the least thing that Job did. For God gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. He still praised the Lord. And in all this, he didn't curse God. In all this, he didn't sin. He praised God. How many realize that's how we ought to be? So let's think about 2021 in this way. The trouble is that our container is just too small. Our thinking is too limited. And sometimes we think thoughts that we've always thought, and we wonder why we keep getting things we've always got. But it has to do with our thinking. It has nothing to do with God, because God's already told you he has great thoughts for you. God's already let you know he's got plans for you, and he's got blessings for you, he's got things for you. We need to enlarge our vision. Our trust in God needs to expand, and we need to make room for all the big things God wants to do in our lives. Jeremiah's message to Israel after their captivity should be the same message we should receive today for 2021. And this is Isaiah. I'm sorry, I said Jeremiah, but it's Isaiah. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 3. So Isaiah said this, "Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman." Now, what is he saying there? He's saying, and you could parallel today, you could look around and see churches that look like they're being blessed, and it looks like we're struggling, although every church has been pretty leveled by this lockdown stuff, right? It's all been on a level playing field. So, but yeah, you could look around, you could say, well, this church is being blessed, and many more are the children of the denominations than are the children of the married woman. But notice the key there. One of them is married to the Son of God. Hallelujah. So it goes, and then he goes on to say this, and I love this, says the Lord. He says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." What was Isaiah saying? He's saying, look, I understand you've been in captivity. I understand that, you know, you've struggled. When you look around, you see the other nations are being blessed. It looks like they're being blessed. They have everything, and you are struggling, and you're going through such hardship. And all the stuff that you've just gone through, Israel, is causing your mental thoughts to be, if I could just have a little bit better than captivity. But God wants us to think beyond that. And so what was happening is her tent was only enough for her and her husband, and you know, she didn't have any room. He's saying you need to expand your capacity. Expand your tent. Act like you're going to have a ton of children, because God is going to bring children your way. God is going to raise up people who will become part of the bride of Christ. So you need to expect it. "For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." Stop looking at the nations. You're going to inherit them. Stop looking at that. You're going to inherit them. God has a plan within all the denominations that there are people who are his children, and they're all going to be part of the bride of Christ. We should pray for them. We're not praying for the organization. We're praying for the God's children that are in those organizations, because they are there and they're just looking for the home where they belong. And that's why we need to expand. We need to not have such a tight attitude that it's just us. And when somebody new comes in, we don't get to know them. We don't invite them out to eat. We don't treat them with this amazing amount of, like a lost brother, like a lost sister, like there's somebody that really belongs to your family and you haven't seen them. And you maybe even, like, you know, today when people are doing ancestry.com and having their blood checked and their DNA and they're finding out they have a relative, sometimes that's embarrassing for some people, but it's kind of exciting for a lot of people to find out, I've got a relative. I didn't even know I had. And that's the way it ought to be. That's how we should be, saints. Not only are we children of the King, we've got other children of the King that are your brothers and sisters that are somewhere else. And God wants us to inherit them. But in order to do it, we need to expand our capacity. We need more space. You say, Brother Elijah, this church is already too big for us. We don't need this building. We can get a smaller building. You're thinking smaller. I'm thinking bigger. We're thinking smaller. God's thinking bigger. Praise the Lord. And I love having Eric here, and I don't want to embarrass him, but Mark and I knew him from way, way back. We're talking school days. And he's this fourth time here. He just comes because he's loving the Word. He's loving hearing the Word. He's loving reading the Bible. He's loving coming in relationship with God. He's growing. He doesn't know everything that we know, and he wouldn't be embarrassed to tell you that. But he wants it. He wants what we have. He's hungry for it. That should put such excitement in us. You should become so expectant, saying, hallelujah, if God can do take care of one of his children and bring him into the family, how many more are there out there? There's so many more. And watch, they will come. They are coming. I tell you that. God has promotion and increase prepared for you for this year. He's expecting you are going to enlarge your borders. Hallelujah. And what I love about that is the idea is, instead of saying, I know the economy is struggling, I know that there's a pandemic, instead of, you know, you can say that, because we have to acknowledge the fact that these things exist. We're not going around putting our head in the sand. We're not putting a blindfold on. But you can add on top of that, but I also know, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I also know my God has good things in mind for me. God is thinking good thoughts toward me. I want to change my limiting attitude, my limiting thoughts to positive ones. I want to expand the capacity to receive, because the Bible itself teaches us how to do this. The Bible itself is all about that. Oh, hallelujah. So what are you expecting for this year? I'm asking you, Brother Mark, what are you expecting this year? Are you expecting more of the same? Are you expecting that not much is going to change? Are you expecting that, you know, this is just the world we got to deal with, we got to live in? And some of you are like, I'm going to get out of Connecticut. I can't live here anymore. Some of you are saying, I'm going to move to Canada. Forget about it. Talk to some Canadians here. They will tell you, don't do it. You're better off going to Mexico. Don't go to Canada. You know, and it's nothing wrong with Canada or any other country. You can't be thinking about your space is not good, so change your space. Take your space and expand it. Just change the way you're thinking. God is going to use me. He's going to bless me. He's going to help me to be a blessing to others right here where I live. God is going to use me in the capacity that I give him. So you might be thinking, I don't see how my business is going to survive during this lockdown. I don't see how the company I work for will make it. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get a promotion or if I'm going to even have a job. You might be struggling with your health and wondering, is it just going to keep getting worse and worse? And that sometimes happens. You find yourself in a mental cycle, because you start thinking the world outside of you is affecting and impacting you so much that you just don't see anything good coming out of it. But God can bring a Jesus out of Nazareth. God can bring a Redeemer, Moses, out of a flock of sheep. God can bring great deliverance for us from places you don't even expect. But start expecting it. And I've got to just say this, because you've heard it a million times, but sadly, we always get what we expect. So it's all about take your expectations and start to transform them. Let the Word of God transform your expectations, amen, and start thinking bigger. Start thinking better. God is always a God of better. He gave them a Old Testament. It wasn't called that when he gave it, but he gave them a covenant. And that was good. It was better than any other nations had, because they had no kind of relationship with God. But God picked one nation, Israel, and made a covenant with them. That's unusual. He didn't do it with anybody else. Israel was certainly feeling quite privileged. But then Jesus came along and ultimately brought a better covenant, a new covenant. Hallelujah. And then God, after 2,000 years of church history, brings something even better for us. He wants to restore you. He wants to restore all the lands that have been taken from you. Restore the crops that the evil one has eaten away from you. God wants to restore the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. What a great thing that is. So then let us do that. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. You know, I think some of us, we just don't open our mouth very wide, you know, but God will fill it. However much the capacity you have, you can have. You know, I think a lot of times God can't fill our mouths because our mouths are already full of something. Amen? Is that right? It's full of complaining and full of negativity and full of all these things. Start speaking God's word out there. When you speak the word of God in your life, when you speak blessings and promises in your life that God has made, you start expanding your borders. Your borders keep expanding. I want you to trade in your old cup for a bucket. We'll even sing that song maybe that way. We'll keep going up. Fill my cup, fill my bucket, Lord. I fill my barrel, Lord, right? And then we'll switch to fill the pool. Never mind. Right? We got to get something beyond just our little containers. Let's think bigger than ourselves. Let's not think about what the world's doing to us. Let's think about what's bigger than the world, our mighty God who created all things. He is much bigger. Let's think about him and what he's doing. You're not falling, you're not failing, but you're, and this is what a lot of people are doing. They feel like with a barrel, at least, they're not failing, but they're just getting by. Or, you know, or they're doing a little better than someone else, and they traded that in. But I want you to take your expectations, especially if they're small, and I want you to begin to make increases in your life. Start increasing your expectation more and more. What about your health? Some of you are struggling with health. I have health issues, and I could list them for you, but I'm not going to do that because I list them before the Lord. I said, Lord, I am so... When I list them before the Lord, they're not complaints. I'm not saying, Lord, my neck hurts. I don't know if this is ever going to... Can you just give me a little relief? It's not a complaint. I list it because I'm like, Lord, I'm so excited for the day that you're going to heal my neck. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait for that to happen, right? So that's how I look at it. You make a list before the Lord. It's not a Santa Claus list, right? You're saying these are areas that I'm already glorifying you. I'm already thanking you, God, that you are the healer of my body. You're the healer of my finances. You're the healer of my family and my home. You're the savior of my children. Hallelujah. I'm already thanking God for it. I'm not laying it before him. Oh, God, please, I beg you. Brother Branham said sometimes that the way that we pray is so cowardly, it limits God. Don't pray like that. Pray excited. Be excited about what God is going to do in your life. Amen. So if you can get to the swimming pool, I want you to think about the prophet in the Bible that was in a vision that he stepped into the river and his feet were in the river. And then he got excited and he went a little further and then it was up to his knees. You know, it's wherever he stopped, that's how much river he got to have in his life. This is the river of life. So then he says, no, I'm going to go a little further. It was up to his waist. And then finally he went all the way in and it was up to his neck and he wasn't drowning. He was swimming. He was swimming. He got the freedom to swim in the blessings of God. How many wants to move from just sticking your toes in God's blessing to swimming in it? In the whole river of life, just swim in it. So Jesus said something very powerful to everyone that he ran across. And this was kind of the theme of his whole message and ministry. And that is, be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. And even though some people will say, see, that's the fallback for any minister that prays for the sick, is that, it was their faith. But that's the same thing. It's not a fallback. It's the same thing for salvation. You're not going to be saved just by agreeing with me. You're not going to be saved by joining my church. You're not going to be saved by reading your Bible every day and saying a few prayers. You're saved because of faith. A faith alone saves you. Hallelujah. And so be it unto you according to your faith. So you could have the attitude like the man that had an epileptic child that came to Jesus. And Jesus said, if you believe, I can do it for you. And the man was honest with himself and honest with Jesus and honest with everybody in the area. And he says, I believe, help my unbelief. How many here has that kind of that juxtaposition of we have faith, but at the same time, we have some doubts? Let's be honest with it. We need to get rid of the doubts, but we can't pretend we don't have them. Let's be honest and God will help us. How many wants God to help us to increase our faith and reduce our doubts? Jesus is a good manager that way, and he will help you. Now, here's three things that you can do, and I want to end on these. Three things that we can do to get rid of our limiting thinking and enlarge our borders to receive what God has for us for 2021. Number one, I want you to forget the past. You say, you can't forget the past, but you don't understand what I'm saying here. I want you to use an absolute just proactive energy of forgetting the past. It has to be something that you're going to do. Watch. I'll read it to you out of Isaiah 43, 18 through 19, where it says, "Do not remember the former things." Here's God instructing Israel. "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." A road in the wilderness is unbelievable back then, because they didn't have the tools we have today or the power equipment to make a road in the wilderness. It was impossible, but God will do it. And to have a river flowing in a desert is like, you never find that. Deserts are just miles and miles of sand, but God will make a river in the desert. Rivers in the desert. Amen. And so God wants us to start expecting new things. Start expecting blessings you never even thought of, you never even heard of, but just expect them. Expect God to do these things in your life. I don't see how people who have expectation can be depressed. You have so much hope. I don't see how people like that can have a long face. Right? You're just full of happiness. You got joy. You can't even hide your smile. People start asking you, why are you so happy all the time? Right? Because I have an expectation. I've got great things coming my way. Paul said it this way, and I really like that. So you got a little bit of the Old Testament. Let's look at the New Testament. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, stretching forward like you're running so fast. You're just leaning forward, he says, to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ. How many can do that with me? How many is willing to forget about 2020? Stop worrying about all the stress of it. God was giving us a moment to rest. A 2020 vision time to be able to think about, where are we going? What is life all about? Why am I here on this earth? That's what 2020 was. God froze us at the mountain, amen, for 1 year, as it was with Israel. Why? Because he wants us to start focusing on our real goal and on the real prize. And that is the prize that's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's press forward. Let's forget those things which are behind. So that's the first thing we need to do, is we need to forget all the negativity of the past, all the mistakes you've made, all the dumb things maybe you've done, and all the things that have happened to you by other people who've hurt you or events that have damaged you. Let's forget those things. Let's lay them in God's hands and leave them at the cross, because we are focusing now on the future. All right, so second thing I want you to do is to enjoy the present. Enjoy the present. Just embrace the moment. Be in the moment, as people say, right? Brother Elijah, you have not seen the news lately. Things don't look so good in the world, right? But Psalm 37 says, even in famine, the righteous will have more than enough. Even in famine, the righteous are going to have more than enough. Do you believe that? You know what God has for you? Even in a time when you might look around and you have your family's falling apart, or your finances are in a dump, or your health is in a huge challenge, I want you to just remember, God is going to give you more than enough. Not just enough, more than enough. Hallelujah. Isn't there a song about that? Jehovah, he's more than enough for you, for me. We don't want to keep living with just enough. I have just enough. I'm so glad I scraped by for 2020. No, we got to start thinking 2021 is going to be a year that is going to be filled with blessing, and I'm going to have surplus. And that's because God has promised that for me. Amen. And so I want you to forget the past. And number two, I want you to embrace the present. You have a present help in time of need. Your God is with you right now, 24/7. He's right here right now. You're not doing anything else. You're not driving your car. You're not at work. You're not in the grocery store. You're right here. He's right here. Let's give him all our attitude, our atmosphere. Let's give him all our heart. Let's give him, let's love him with all our mind, our soul, our heart. Let's pour it out upon him. How many will do that in this present moment? That's why when you pray, don't pray like you're in a hurry, because you're in the future. And don't pray all the negativities of the past. It's okay to dump them at the Calvary, but make your prayer, the ultimate goal of your prayer is to become present with God. Be present with your Father. Make sure that happens. Don't rush through your prayer where you say, Lord, forgive me for the past and help me never to have that again, never make that mistake again. Lord, bless me in the future and help my family and help me at work today and goodbye. I'll talk to you later. You know, let's not do that. You skipped the present. You forgot this part, you know, where the prophet said you should always take like 5 minutes when you've done all your praying and you've given God all your problems and you've given him your future. Then wait and just wait because he might be ready to speak back to you. Amen. I don't mean empty your mind and just hear a voice. You know, people say, I hear voices. I wouldn't do that. I would simply give God the time. You're just saying, I love you, Lord. You're present here. I'm at your throne. I've come before you. I love you. You're here. I feel your presence. And then God starts speaking into your heart. That's being present with God. And then your future. This is the third thing. I want you to embrace your future. Don't face it with worry and stress. Like Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has plenty of gonna have plenty of problems, you know. Don't even think about it. You can't solve it. It's tomorrow. And I love that song, right? All of you know it. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Let's embrace the future because God is in it. We give the devil way too much credit, saints. In John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I don't expect Satan to do anything different. People say, oh, that was the devil. So, that's what he does. He comes to steal, to destroy, to bring ill health, disease. That's what Satan does, right? But Jesus said, but I have come that you may have life and that life will be more abundant. He's come to give you abundance. Abundance in life, blessings, showing you things that no one else can show you, blessing you with a direction, with a path, showing you what God has intended for you and your family. Let's remember that John 10:10. If you're struggling with 2020, just go to 10:10. Hallelujah. Let's stop talking about how bad the devil is. Because he's already a defeated being anyway. And let's start declaring how good our Lord is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's got more of that. If you've tasted it, there's more where that comes from, right? So we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we know he's there already. He declares the end, the future, from the beginning, from the start. So I want us to change our capacity to receive. And those are the three things that I want you to do. Number one, forget the things of the past that are so limiting and so negative. Number two, embrace the present, know the Lord is there. And number three, that same God that's in your present right now is going to carry you into the future. I'm not what I ought to be. And I'm not what I want to be, right? But thank God I'm not what I used to be, right? So the past is forgiven and the future is certain in Christ. So don't settle for your bucket or your barrel. Don't allow setbacks to be the things that hold you back. Because a lot of times what we do is in order to avoid the disappointments of the past, we start limiting our expectations, right? Because when you were younger and you didn't know better, you had big expectations and then you got disappointed by parents, by siblings, you got disappointed by neighbors, by friends, you got disappointed by teachers, everything. So many disappointments. Our great capacity as children, remember when you were a little child and you're like, everything you thought, why can't we do this? Why not? Why not? Everything was big. You could do anything. And then you got disappointed, 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 and you kept limiting your expectations. What are you doing? You're living a life of avoidance. You're avoiding being hurt. And what you're actually doing is you're not living anymore. You've stopped living. We need to have the attitude of Christopher Columbus or some of those other discoverers who knew that it was a great risk, but it was worth the risk to discover another world. And whatever the cost and all the debt he was under that he had to pay back, he took the risk and he discovered this world. And that's what you and I need to have is our attitude. And we all realize, yes, I've been hurt, I've been disappointed, I've been let down, but Let me not allow setbacks to control my capacity. Let me dream big again. Let my heart beat again. Let me have expectation again. Because I'm no longer expecting for others to do this for me. I'm expecting my God. That's why you can expand your expectation, because it's your God you're expecting. He's the one that's going to supply your need, and he's the one that's going to be there. So believe big for 2021. How many will do that with me? How many will believe big for 2021? This is going to be a great year. And I want you to start saying that. This is going to be a great year. I don't have everything that I really need in life. I don't have everything I really would like in life for myself, for my family, for my children. But I'm expecting God to do something crazy for me. I'm expecting big things. But Brother Elijah, I don't want to expect. I've done that before and I've been let down. Then you have an issue between you and God. He's not that kind of God. You can't do that. You can't limit God. You're not allowed to, Brother Branham said, right? You're not allowed to limit God. God is in control of eternity. He can't be limited unless he limits himself, but he can't be limited by our thinking or by our time schedule. God's not part of that. He has something better going on, bigger. How many can say this with me? My God has the best in store for me. Amen. My God has the best in store for me. My future looks bright. Will you say that with me? My future looks bright. I want you to start declaring that every single day. This is my year for, and I want you to fill in the blank. This is my year for what? What is this the year for you? I don't know. Nothing much is going to happen. Then that's what you're going to get. You're going to get nothing much. What is this year for you? This is my year for this. Hallelujah. Fill in the blank. Put something in there. Your words are creative. Put something in there. The power of life and death are in your tongue. You get to say it. You get to speak it. Everything you speak becomes something in your life. Expecting bigger things. How many will do that with me? You will expect the bigger things that God has for you. Start expecting exciting things and start proclaiming it. It needs to be in your thoughts. It needs to be in your words. It needs to be in your attitudes. It needs to be in our relationships and communications with one another. Think bigger. Teach your children these things. They have to. Sometimes we keep trying to limit them because we don't, you know, when they say, I remember when Gideon was little, he would grab something off the store shelf. You know, you're just pushing him in a buggy and whoosh. You're like, there's things that end up in the carriage or wagon or buggy, whatever you want to call it. And you're like, how did that even get in there? Well, you got a little baby sitting there. He's 2 years old. He's got little fingers and he just grabbed something and threw it in there because that's what you're doing. You're grabbing things. So he wants to do that too, right? Why not? And I remember he would do that. And instead of saying, we can't buy that or we can't afford that, I always said something different. I always said, that is, someone else is coming in here to buy that, so that belongs to somebody else. And he would go, oh, okay. So, you know, we weren't buying it. Somebody was buying it. It wasn't going to be us. So that's for somebody else. Somebody else is coming to buy that. Oh, okay. Puts it back, you know. But so many times we're so taught in our lives that we can't do it. We can't afford it. It's not possible. Instead of thinking about how can we make this a possibility? How can this happen? I want you to think about the possibilities. With God, all things are possible. Only believe. All things are possible. Praise the Lord. That's our theme song. All things, not some things, all things are possible. Only believe. Father, we thank you for the word today. We pray that it'll continue to speak into every heart, every life, and impact, transform, and change for the better every person's life, family, finances, health, and their careers, schooling, education, everything, Lord. Just be there to be the best they can have in everything. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and your kindness to each one of us. Now we pray that as we water the seed, as it were, by worship, we pray that you will come into the worship. And as you said in the scripture, I dwell in the worship of my people. Come and dwell, Lord, and be the one who worships among your brethren. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Every promise in the book is mine. Give us a key, sister. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book, let's all stand. Sing it again now. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Amen. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. 'Cause every promise in the book is mine. Now I want you to put your hands out like this, like you're ready to receive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, see, some of you are saying, forget that, I'm doing this. I want you to just move your hands out like this. You see, when you do that, you become vulnerable. That's why people do this. You know, keep their cards close. Become vulnerable again. Don't worry about it. The past is the past. God is in your present. God is in your future. He took you through. Put your hands out like this and sing it again. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Oh yes, every promise in the book is mine. Well, mine, Jesus is mine. Jesus, weary. Yes, that's it. Mine when I'm cheery. Mine, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine all the time. 2021 is now all mine. Amen. It's your year. 2021 is now mine. I am trusting in His love divine. 'Cause 2021 is mine. Claim this year. This is your ground. This is your year. This is your time. This is a time like this that Esther came in. Hallelujah. This is our time. Let's believe it. Let's walk in it. Let's believe it. Amen. Divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book. Every line, trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Amen, amen, amen. Please, let's fellowship outside. I know it's a little chilly out, but we like to go ahead and move out of the premises here and just have some fellowship with each other in the name of the Lord. God bless you. Looking forward to our Wednesday night service. If you're able to get on to our private, it's a private Amazing Grace Fellowship Facebook Live. We'll be on there Wednesday night, so we'd love to see you there. God bless you. Amen.